Hello, world. This is Expose 247, and where we turn the light on Christ, isn't the all the what has been written about Him. And today we want to say Merry Christmas to everyone celebrating and marking today the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like He said yesterday, it doesn't matter whether you mark it or not. But the most important thing is that Christ is born afresh. Let Amen. Christ be born afresh in our hearts today.
Amen.
So it's not just the physical birth; let it be born. Okay, so today we're going to continue from where we stopped. And yesterday, if you remember very well, we were able to establish the reason why you need to listen to this knockout series, why you should pay attention. Because yesterday we talked about, if you're not careful and paying attention to those things, you can be, all those benefits of Christ can be repossessed, can be you can be spoiled. And somebody can plunder you and to make no effect that Christ died and was risen, that Christ was born, like you're marking today. So to make no difference. And again, before we move on, I really want to establish another case, another reason why you need to pay attention, why we need to take this thing serious, what we're talking, the new series we started, about being careful about people we listen to, what we listen to, so we don't get spoiled, just like we saw in the Colossians that we read today. It's the case of the Israelites before they went to Canaan. Would you want to talk about it, so to make another case for this?
Yeah, I
for
mean,
this series.
Yeah, viewers all over the world, if you're listening to us, yesterday we established one thing on this knockout series. We said, as a Christian, you can give so much power to people in your life to deprive you of the benefit of redemption, because the Colossians chapter 2 that we read yesterday said to us that let no man actually spoil you. Don't let them take the benefit of your inheritance. And see, there's a particular event in the time of the Israelites when God was dealing with them that comes to mind. You know, the 12 spies that were sent out to spy out the land.
Yeah,
when the Israelites were about to go out and possess Canaan, Moses actually commissioned 12 spies to check out, the benefit of the new land. And you see, when they went out, you notice that 10 of them came back with an evil report, and they said, we were like grasshoppers before the giants in the land. And only two people came back with a good report. That was Joshua and Caleb, who did say, we can possess the land. But you know what? For those people who listened to those 10 spies, they actually lost out on their inheritance. Those that listened to the 10 spies who said, we cannot do this. Those who said, we were like grasshoppers before the giants in the land. As many now, it wasn't the fact that those 10 spies lost out on the inheritance of the Canaan they were going into. It was that the people who listened to what those 10 spies have to say. And that's what we are stressing out today. It is not just those 10 people who lost out on the inheritance of the new land Canaan. It was also the people who absorbed what those 10 spies had to say. So the scripture is saying in Colossians 2 that if you listen to people who rubbish the redemptive work of Christ in the name of men's tradition, who rubbish redemption in the name of doctrines, who rubbish redemption in the name of practices, the Bible says if you listen to those people, you will lose out on the benefit of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. And that's why the language that was used there is the word spoil. It says they will spoil you. They will make you lose out on the benefit they're supposed to have in Christ Jesus. And one thing that we want to say before we carry on today is, it means that this is a very grave matter. It's something that's so serious. It means that for all that Christ went to the cross to achieve, when Christ said it is finished on the cross, Christ said it's all accomplished. I paid the price. I defeated the enemy. I took the goods of the devil, the goods that he stole from mankind, and I restored it back to humanity. For all that Christ did, for all the price he paid, for all the sacrifice he made, it means that if we listen to philosophies, you know, to vain traditions and, you know, theories of men and things that men use to rubbish redemption, if you listen to that, now it's amazing that we can end up losing out on the benefit of redemption. So it's important that you listen to what we have to actually give on this knockout series.
So in other words, is it that people will listen to, is it that we even ever get the benefit at all? Because in the case in question that you just mentioned, they never even got the benefit.
Yeah,
they so never, we need to watch out whether to even receive. Some will not even come to the point of receiving. They will never get to know about what the redemption rights and benefits are of the kind of people they listen to, listen to. Mm. And some, when they even listen, when they already had those redemption benefits in their life, some can they can repossess. It can be repossessed from them by virtue of those they listen to.
Yeah.
So you either have it, you don't even have it at all. So you need to watch out in those two stages of when you want to acquire it. Some will even keep you away. You never get to know about it. And so when you have it, some will they dispossess you of those. So can we just move on today about the watching out on the time and to know at the visitations of God?
Yeah, I mean, we've already established the reason why this is critical. Now today we're looking at, now the question is, does God have a set time in which he has chosen to bless you? Does God have a set time in which he has chosen to favor you? Are you supposed to wait until a particular time next year on your convention, on your program? Is there a set or a monthly program or a weekly program or a biannual program? Does God have a set time in which he has decided he was going to bless you and you are out there waiting for that time to show up? Is that the question? Now, let the scriptures answer this. And let's see what Jesus had to say about the time that God has set to favor or to bless you. Now, quickly, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 4. Okay. And we see an episode in which Jesus talked about the timing of God's visitation to those who believe in the gospel. Luke chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read from verse 18. And I want you to follow us. Now, you see, before we read there, let's go to verse 17, Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It means Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, he came into the temple, and the Bible says, as his custom was, he came to the temple. If you read from verse 15, he talked about that. Now, verse 17 says, they delivered unto Jesus, they gave to Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, very soon, we're going to go to that book and have a look at it, because if Jesus was reading from that book, we need to see what was there originally. And they gave it unto Jesus. And when he had opened the book, that's verse 17, Luke chapter 4, verse 17. When he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Can you see? He found the place where it was written. And that's, you see, before we go on, we need to make this fact known that your life, my life, our destiny is in the pages of the scriptures. Mm. And you need to find where it is written concerning you. Jesus said something. He said, it is written of me in the volume of your books. I've come to do your will, O God. It means your life, your destiny is on the pages of the scriptures. And you need to find where it's written concerning you. So Jesus found the place it was written concerning him. And he read from that place. And verse 18, see what he read from that place. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now he said, because he had anointed me. Now, to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, even though this is not our focus today, if you watch that, you wonder, Jesus was anointed by God. And you see, you need to know the reason why Jesus said that greater works that he did, we were going to do, is because Jesus didn't do everything he did because he was God. I'll repeat that. Jesus needed to be anointed by the Father to do what he did. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Everything Jesus did was because he was anointed by the Father. He did it as a man who was anointed by the Father. But that's not our focus today. And he had sent me. He said this is what the Father did to him. The Father sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now he says, now look at this, to preach, which is verse 19. Now the word preach there means to declare. Every time you hear the word preach in the Bible, it means a proclamation. That's why preaching is different from teaching. When you teach people, you explain to them how things work or how things should be. But this is not a teaching that Jesus said he came to do in this context. Verse 19 says, I've come to make a preaching. You might want to say, I've come to make a proclamation, a declaration. That is what he's saying. You know, he says in verse 19, to declare or to preach or to make a proclamation. What proclamation? To proclaim the year.
The acceptable year.
The acceptable year of the Lord. Now, Jesus did that. And verse 20 says, and he closed the book. Now he closed the book. Now when you close the book, it means it end of story. Close the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Now before we begin to explore this on today's series, I wanted to go back to see where Jesus quoted from. Because the Bible says he quoted from the book of Isaiah. Now if you go quickly to Isaiah chapter 61, before we tie this together today, the question we're asking today, don't forget, is does God have a set time for him to bless you? Does God have a set time for him to favor you? That's the question we are asking. And every person who actually trusts in God, every person who has faith in the power of God needs to understand this question. The answer to this question is critical to if you will still be living in the full benefit of Christ, or you will be spoiled of your resources and your benefit that should be yours in Christ. Answering this question is critical. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. And it says in verse 1, see what it says. This is what Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4. It said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And it says in the next one, he hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. See that? See, that's why I did say that the word preaching means the word proclamation. Mm-hmm. It says to proclaim, to make a declaration, to proclaim liberty. Now, to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says to proclaim. That's the word. You see, that's what I did say in Luke 4:19. You can replace the word preach to be the word proclaim. Because in Luke 4, in Isaiah 61 verse 2, it says, Jesus said, I came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. If you have a different translation, it will say, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said, I came to bring a season. I say this again. I've come to bring a season. I've come to announce to you that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Now, don't forget, this was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, at this stage, Jesus had done no miracle. He had not even done anything. This was immediately after the temptation in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, I've come to make a proclamation. Now, before we talk about this proclamation, this particular season that Jesus came to usher in this particular place, it's important for us to know in what context was Jesus making this statement. And you see, what comes to mind is in this place of Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4, it was an echo of Leviticus chapter 25. Now, we're not going to really go in there. I'm going to tell you what is in there. In Leviticus 25, you see, in Israel, they had three different feasts and three different seasons. There was the feast of the Passover, which was a reminder of the fact that they went through the Red Sea and God delivered them. They had the feast of Pentecost, which happened 50 days after. And they have the feast of Tabernacles. And you see, these are the three recurring feasts that Israel have in Israel. And you see what happens is God gave a command to the Israelites, because God didn't want anyone to be in perpetual slavery. So what God organized was the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee is 50 years. You see, there's a 7x7 cycle. On the 50th year, God told the Israelites they have to make a proclamation. They have to make a declaration. Please watch the similarity. God said in Leviticus 25, if you read from verse 8 down to verse 10, God said, in the 50th year in which you are in the land, make a declaration. And the declaration says, tell people it is the season of liberty. And what happens in that season is this. If you had a slave that was already in the house, they have to go free when you declare the season of liberty. It was called the year of Jubilee. You have to make a declaration. Now watch this. Somebody makes a declaration. And once the declaration is made, all those who were slaves can go free. In fact, those whose lands have been mortgaged, the land was meant to be returned back to them as soon as the proclamation was made, as this is the season of Jubilee. And you see, Jesus said, what I've come to do. You see me setting the captives free. You see me opening the eyes of the blind. You see me healing the brokenhearted. I've come to make a proclamation. This is the year. This is the season. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And you see, let me say something which is very, very important. As we go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. When God talks about time, it's amazing that we get it mixed up when God refers to time. You see, let me say this. In the Greek, you see, the Greek language was the language in which the New Testament was written in the, it was first written in the Greek language. And I presume if you're a student of history, you will simply understand that the Greek language is much more older than English language. In fact, most of our English words have their root meaning in the Greek. And so that's the reason why the Greek language is much more richer and much more deeper in contextual meaning compared to English, because it's a much older language. And you see, when the Bible talks about time, in English language, we always say time, time, time. Everything to us is time. But in the Greek language, they have different meanings for time. You see, if you check the Bible, anytime it talks about season, anytime it talks about time, there are two different words in the Greek. Now, one of them is chronos, where we get the word chronological in our English version. The other one is kairos. Now, the difference between chronos and kairos, in fact, according to Bible scholars, the word kairos is the word used for time over 60 times in the scriptures, and chronos is used for time over 30 times in the scriptures, according to most Bible scholars, which is an agreed thing. Now, you see, the fact is, now, any time the Bible talks about chronos, which we all know, we're talking about time, minutes, and seconds, talking about days, talking about the calendar year, that's chronos. We all know that. But you see, there's the other one called the kairos. The kairos is not connected to a particular date or a particular month. It's connected to a season. Now, in this particular place, in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, when Jesus said, "I've come to declare the acceptable year of the Lord," the language that was used there is the word kairos in the Greek. Jesus is saying, "I've come to declare the season in which God is going to favor his people." It is the season. Now, when God says there's a season, it simply means it's not about the date, it's not about the time, it's about the event. And what's the event? That the person of Christ Jesus has come to make a proclamation. Now, let's say this, very critical. It means then, before you were born into Christ Jesus, if you're asking the question, when is your visitation? When is God going to visit you? Before you were born into Christ Jesus, Jesus made a proclamation before you were born. Before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, he made a proclamation and he declared the year, the season, the kairos of God's favor. The year of God's favor is already at work even before you ever came into Christ Jesus. Because how did I know this? Now look at this. Let's go back to the scriptures. Luke chapter 4, verse 19, verse 20 says, "He closed the book." He closed the book. End of story. Now see what it says. "And he gave it again to the minister and sat down." Let me use the word. Let's talk about the word "sat down." You see, when rabbis read the scriptures, when they read the liturgy, they don't sit down. They stand up. And the reason they stand up is this. It's a reminder that this is not settled. Now, let's go quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us about Aaronic priesthood. He tries to contrast the priesthood of Aaron with that of Jesus. He said one thing about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10. He said, "When this Jesus offered a sacrifice once and for all, he sat down at the right hand of the Father." What does that mean? He sat down. He says, well, I mean, we cannot add to this anymore. The Bible says when Jesus made the offering for sin, he sat down. Now, why would he say Jesus sat down when he made offering for sin? The reason is, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, there were no seats. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, go and read Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 9. Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 9 describes how the tabernacle looked like. All the things in the outer court, the things in the inner court, and the things in the Holy of Holies. There was no mention of a seat. The only seat that was mentioned was the mercy seat, where we have the cherubims and the seraphims. You see, in reality, there was no place in the whole tabernacle where Aaron could sit down. There was no place because they were not supposed to sit down. Because the Bible says every time Aaron, the high priest, and his children, Eleazar and all of them, every time they offered the sacrifice, there was a constant reminder of sins that it's not over yet. Aaron, you're coming back next year. Aaron, you're going to come back in the next 2 years because this season of redemption is not over. There was a constant reminder of sins. But the Bible says about this Jesus, this high priest in Hebrews chapter 10, that this high priest is different from Aaron. Why? Because when this one offered the sacrifice in Hebrews 10, the Bible said this one sat down. He sat down and said, you know what? We've declared period of redemption. It's once and for all. It's still in force. It will be in force forevermore. Once and for all. We will not renew this. We don't need to refire the process. He sat down once and for all as a constant reminder to everyone that dares to believe that this season of redemption is continuous. Now listen, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, that when Jesus took the book, he read from it and declared the year of God's favor. He closed the book. He sat down. He said, that's it. The season is in force. It means then, listen, when we God visit you, before you came into Christ, before you came into Jesus Christ, he proclaimed a kairos, a season of God's favor. So that means you were born into a season. Let's say that again.
Don't need to pray for the season.
You were born into the season. You were born into the kairos of God's favor. You were born because it was in force. How did I know? Jesus sat down. When he read it on the last verse, this is the year of God's favor. He closed it and sat down. It means it's in force. You don't sit down as a rabbi when you read. In fact, anytime they read in the synagogue, they keep standing. They don't sit down. If you listen, if you want to look at this context, if you were even the present day Jews, the 21st century Jews, you see them when they are reading, from the scroll, you see, before the wailing wall, they have to keep standing because there's a reminder they have to come and reenact this all over again. Jesus says to you and I that we were born into a season, and that season is continuously in force. How did we know that? Because as soon as he got to the year of the Lord's favor in Luke 4:19, Luke 4:20 said he sat down, and he said that season is in force. So if you're asking the question today, when is God going to visit you? That's the wrong question. You were born into the visitation. You were born into the season of God. Now, having said this, what do we do? I mean, the reason why so many Christians today have been deceived, have been manipulated, and have been, been in a way, been deceived to think that, you know what, we're going to have our convention on the 21st of October 2017. And at that time, we're inviting a great minister of God, and they will declare a special season over your life, and they will proclaim a special season over your destiny. And the reason why people fall for that is because they look at their lives and look at what is happening in their situation at the moment, and they presume and come to a conclusion, there is no way God could have visited me and my life is like this. It then means that I need a visitation. That's where people get deceived. And the reason you are thinking that way is simply because you don't understand that the Bible says Jesus declared the year of the Lord's favor and sat down. Now, see, he declared it and sat down. He says, we're not changing this. We don't need to refire this. We don't need to reenact it. We don't need to re-proclaim it. We don't need to renew it. I've come to declare, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do what the rabbis would not normally do. And this is what we have come to say. Now, we're going to clarify. Is it because now we know that we're born into that season? We're born into the proclamation. And you see, let's talk about this quickly, which is what we're going to look at again, so that people can come into this revelation and walk in it. Because the purpose of a revelation is for people to walk in that revelation. And we're going to clarify that. Now, you see, this year of Jubilee that was declared, it reminds me seriously about Abraham Lincoln. Now, if you're a student of history, American history, according to American history, it tells us that September 1862, Abraham Lincoln declared that all the slaves in the South can go free. He said, as of January 1st, 1863, Abraham Lincoln passed it into law and said, all the slaves can go free. It was a proclamation. In fact, this is quite amazing. If you check most American history books, they call it the Emancipation Proclamation. Again, the word proclamation, it was called the Proclamation of the Emancipation. It means Abraham Lincoln proclaimed and said, as of January 1st, 1863, all captives, all slaves can go free. It was a declaration. But listen, the fact is, even though he made a declaration that all can go free, the slaves themselves have to walk out of that. What? It's not enough. This is where the problem is. Jesus came to make a proclamation. He said it's the year of the Lord's favor. He says the kairos is the season of God's favor. And he gave evidence for that. You see, Jesus is not theoretical. Is practical. That's why I like what book of Luke said. When Luke was telling Theophilus in Luke chapter 1 and Acts chapter 1, he said, oh Theophilus, he said, of the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. This is not theory. If Jesus Christ declared, I've come to proclaim the year of what? Of the Lord's favor. He gave evidence for what he was saying. Because in the previous verse, in verse 18, he said, see, can you see that the captives have been set free? You see, the eyes of the blind are opening. Can't you not see that we're healing the brokenhearted? Can you not see that we have come to bring hope to those who are hopeless? Jesus gave evidence for this proclamation to be true. And you see, it's one thing that God gives a proclamation for a season. It's a different thing for men to walk into that season. So when Abraham Lincoln made that declaration of emancipation, the slaves themselves had to work out. In fact, there were some slave owners who did not want some slaves to go free. All the slaves have to do is to tell them, have you not heard of the proclamation of emancipation that we're supposed to walk free? And it's the same thing. The Jubilee in Leviticus 25, when God said all slaves can go free in the 50th year, Leviticus 25, the responsibility lies on the shoulders of the slaves to walk out of that situation. Now, the reason they can walk out of the situation is simply because they understand there was a proclamation. They understand there was a proclamation of emancipation. And this is where so many Christians have been stuck. They are waiting for a new proclamation. For example, how absurd will it be? How absurd will it be for a slave whose master wasn't allowing him to go after the proclamation to go back to Abraham Lincoln and say, "Honest Abe," that's what they call Abraham Lincoln, "can you please make a new proclamation?" Because why? Because it seems I want to walk free from the what? From the captivity, and my master seems to be very stubborn, not allowing me to go. If he goes back to Abraham Lincoln and say, "Abraham Lincoln, make a much more powerful proclamation. Statement. Not just the last one. The last one you made wasn't that strong. Can you refire and re-proclaim?" This is how some Christians look at Christ and look at the power of redemption. You are waiting and asking God to send it down a new season from heaven. You are saying, "Father, I'm not too sure whether the proclamation in Luke 4:18 is very strong enough. If I decide to fast, if I decide to wait for our next convention, our next program, if only God can refire and reset and redeclare a new season in my life, that would be really great.
Send a new Jesus.
Can you reproclaim a new season? Or can I wait on my Father in the Lord, or somebody who is anointed of God, or somebody who carries the anointing of the Spirit to make a new proclamation of the one that will be much more potent than what Jesus made in Luke 4:18. That would be absurd. It's the same way it would be absurd for Abraham Lincoln. If they tell Abraham Lincoln and say, "You know what, Abraham Lincoln, can you make a new proclamation?" All the slave had to do to their masters after the emancipation proclamation was for the slaves to tell their master and say, "Have you not heard the proclamation that was supposed to walk free?" And you see, this is what you have to tell every single thing in your life. You speak to every situation that was the rubbish, the work of redemption in your soul. You tell them, "Have you not heard of the proclamation? Have you not heard that was supposed to walk free? Have you not heard that God has spoken? Have you not heard that Jesus made a proclamation in Luke 4:18? He didn't just make the proclamation, he sat down. It means he's saying, "You know what? The season is in force. The season is in place." And you see, let's quickly go to John chapter 8.
The season of the Lord's favor.
The season of the Lord's favor. So it means if you're asking, when will the Lord visit you? When will the Lord favor you? The fact is, you were born into a season. You were born into the proclamation. Now, there's something that comes to mind as I'm talking now. What about if you do have a slave who had a child that was not yet born? At the time when Abraham Lincoln made that declaration in 1862 that all slaves can go free. If you had a child of a slave that was not yet born, if the child was maybe 3 months in the mother's womb, at the time of declaration, if that child was born if the child was 3 months in the mother's womb at the time of declaration, if that child was born later on, that child would have been born into that proclamation. Yeah. It means that child would have been born free. Okay. That child would have been born set free, born at liberty. That child would have been born to benefit from the proclamation. And what we are saying is this, that before you ever came into Christ Jesus, before you ever born again, the Bible did say that Jesus made a proclamation in Luke 4:18 that it's the season of the Lord's favor. It means when you were born into that season.
You were born into liberty.
You were born into liberty. And let's say this categorically, which is very important. The Bible says in verse 20 that when Jesus sat down, the eyes of people were fastened unto Jesus. They looked at Jesus in wonder. And I'll tell you the reason. Now, this is where Jesus is not the same as Abraham Lincoln. This is the reason. You see, in Abraham Lincoln, it was just a matter of declaration, of setting the law straight. In the time of Jesus, he didn't just make a declaration. He was the declaration. Let's say that again. Jesus didn't just make a declaration. Jesus was the declaration. How did I know that? Because the Bible did tell us that Jesus became the sacrifice for sin. His life, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection was a declaration itself. Jesus himself was a declaration. And that's what the Bible tells us, that he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. It means Jesus Christ didn't just proclaim a declaration. He is the declaration. He became a declaration. It means every time You think about Christ. Every time you meditate on Christ, you're meditating upon a proclamation. Mm-hmm. You see, that's why the Bible says in Colossians 2, 14, 15, that he spoils principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. He didn't just make the declaration. He actually became that declaration. It means the Bible says, at the name of Jesus. When we talk about the name of Jesus, we're talking about the status, we're talking about the position, we're talking about the authority of Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, in his name. You see, for example, you couldn't just say in the name of Abraham Lincoln. That's a bit weird and strange. But in the name of Jesus, it means when demons hear that name, what you are thinking, you are making a proclamation of the name of Jesus. What demons are hearing, they are hearing the proclamation of an emancipation. When you declare that name, Bible says every knees shall bow. The reason why knees are bowing down, because knees are hearing a declaration. They are hearing a proclamation. So Jesus didn't just make a proclamation, he became the proclamation. That's why the eyes of those that listened to what he had to say were fasting on him. They were not fasting on what he said. They were not fasting on some theory. This is not about some theory or some kind of principles. Christ is more than principles. Christ is more than liturgy. Christ is more than words or declaration. Christ is the declaration. Because the eyes of people were not fasting on the scroll he read. The eyes were fasting on him. They got the point that he is the declaration. And the Bible says,
the one that can make it happen.
He is it. That's why if you have Christ, you have liberty. The Bible says the Lord is that spirit. Watch that. He said the Lord is that spirit. Ephesians 5, the Lord is that spirit. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Because he is that liberty. He is that spirit. He's not just giving liberty. He is liberty. And that's what we've come to say, that if you were born in Christ Jesus, if you were born of the spirit, you were born into a proclamation. You were born into a visitation of God. You were born into the time and the season and the kairos of God's favor. And that's what this has to say. And you see, quickly, we have to look at John chapter 8.
Okay.
Because we see what the Lord has to say to us in John chapter 8. So don't let any man beguile you or deceive you. Don't let any man steal your possession in Christ. Don't let any man deprive you of your Christ possession by telling you that there's a date and a time set forth for God to visit you. There's a monthly renewal. Jesus made that proclamation and sat down. That's it. And sat down. And you see, if you're not having the fullness of God's presence in your life, if you're not getting the benefit of that redemption, of that visitation, you cannot decide to go the wrong way about it, hoping that God will make a fresh proclamation because of your life. You see, Jesus said in John 7, he said, if anybody believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He said that to make you understand that all you need for life and godliness is in your spirit, man. It's in your belly. You need to know how to tap into it and make demand on what is in there. Not by asking God to actually send special times of visitation. In fact, the time in the gospel that Peter, in book of Acts 3, talks about the time of refreshing coming from the Lord was because he was talking to many who were not saved. He told them, when he preached, he said, repent and believe the gospel so that the season or the kairos of refreshing can come from the Lord. Repent and believe the gospel. Can you see that? He was talking to men who were not saved. For those who were saved. Now, it means then, let's talk about this. It means if Peter preached in Acts 3 and said to men to repent and believe the gospel so they can actually get the benefit of the time of refreshing, how can you then say for those people who have believed the gospel, who are still asking for the time and the season to come from the Lord? That is an anomaly. That is an aberration. That is wrong. That is not true. And this is what we are talking about, that Christ came to make a proclamation, and we enter into that proclamation when we're born into it at redemption. Now let's see what John chapter 8 has to say to us about the same understanding. Now John chapter 8, verse 30. Now see what he has to say about this. And he says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now watch that. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believe on him. Now I want you to really listen to this. Jesus was saying this to the Jews that believe on him. He wasn't talking about those who didn't believe. It means what we are talking today is for those who believe. Who believe in Jesus Christ. Who believe in the Son of God. Who believe in the life, in the power, in the presence, in the glory, in the power of redemption. They're the ones we're talking to. He says what? It's Jesus said unto those Jews who believed in him. He said, if you continue in my word. Now he said, then are you my disciples indeed? And see verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can you see that? Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you believe in my proclamation, if you believe in my declaration. Now, one thing is this, you need to continue in my word. That's what we did say. Most Christians who are trying to make God, to make a fresh proclamation of a new season in your life, we're going through the wrong pathway. God already made the proclamation. You were born into a season. You were born into that timing. You were born into the Kairos. It's the season of the Lord's favor. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, now he says, you need to continue in my word. Now, this is where there's a disconnection. You know, you need to come into the awareness in my word of what I said. It said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you will what? Know the truth. So it means that the problem of being free indeed is to know the truth of that which has been proclaimed. Can you see that? So the reason why so many are not walking free, or the reason why so many are thinking God will proclaim a special season over their lives, is simply because the reality of the truth of the proclamation has not dawned upon our spirit. And if you notice, Jesus said, you need to continue in my word. The reason is, this is the reason, because as humans, before we gave our life to Jesus, we live from our soul. We used to live from our minds. We live from our flesh. So it means that we become so used and accustomed to living out of carnality. And when you come into Christ Jesus and you receive the Spirit of Christ, which is the time of refreshing from the Lord, this happens in your spirit man. And the Bible says you need to continue in the word for you to be free, what? Indeed. And this is where the old issue is. It's the same thing that we talk about the emancipation. For a slave whose master wasn't allowing him to go, all he's going to do at the year of Jubilee was to say, it is written. I can see that there was a proclamation. There was a year of Jubilee declared. As long as the slave gets to know that and proclaim that, understands that, it's a matter of time. He cannot stay bound forever. And I think that's the point. So as Christians, we have a big responsibility. Yeah. And we said it yesterday in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. It said, be aware, be mentally alert. And yesterday, we made a connection between people who have been merchandised and those who are mentally lazy. There's a connection. As long as you're mentally lazy, you will be a candidate of what? Of merchandisement or manipulation by men who want to keep you bound. The Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you. You see, it says, as long as you are aware, as long as you are alert, as long as your mind is renewed, men cannot spoil you. Men cannot take the benefit of the cross that you have. And Jesus is simply saying here in John 8 verse 32, Christ is simply saying, if you continue in my word, the reality of the proclamation I made will dawn on your spirit. It will dawn on your mind. If you continue, can you see that? Now he says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and then you can walk free. You see, if you notice, he didn't say, I will make you free. And this is where we need to say this. He didn't say, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed. You will know the truth and I will make you free. He didn't say that.
The responsibility is on.
He said, if you know the truth, he said, the truth will make you free.
The truth you know.
The truth you know, you walk free. You walk in the season that was already proclaimed on your life. You can then walk in that season. So you can walk in that season. You can move in that season. You can speak to every slave masters. You can speak and say, have you not heard the declaration that it was declared that we can walk free? I'm walking free because it was proclaimed. It was declared. You can speak to it. You can speak to every circumstances in your life. You can speak into the new year. You can speak to the period. You can speak to dispensations. You can speak to eras and aeons, ages. And you can address every single thing in your life and say, I understand the proclamation that was made. So this is where we have the responsibility. And as long as we don't take that responsibility, we give men the power to spoil us.
There's nothing more to add to this, but I just want us to remember that with Aaron, it is an unfinished business.
Unfinished business.
And with Christ, it is finished. He even declared it is finished. And that's why the highest were fasting on him.
They look at him.
They look at him, it is finished.
It is finished.
And so if you are not walking in that your freedom, and if you allow people to manage, that means it's either you are mentally lazy, that for you not to know what has been declared, because it's what has been declared that truth of what is declared that can make you free. So if you don't know the truth that has been declared, so there's no freedom. There's no freedom, despite that the freedom has been in place even before you came into it.
That's it.
So I would like you to join us next Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, as we continue on this knockout series. And if you missed the one of yesterday, you just need to go back. Please keep sharing and keep living this truth. So we'll see you next Saturday where we continue on this knockout series. We say, please, Christ has set you free, so walk in that freedom.
You were born into your season. You were born into a proclamation.
And let no man spoil you anymore.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye.